Warning, this podcast is intended for mature audiences only. The podcast will contain adult language and subject matter. It is not suitable for all listeners and ages. Your personal discretion is advised.
Feel the rhythm. Feel the rhyme. Get on up, cause Daryl's dead. Welcome back, everybody. Wrong again, Lou. Wrong again, you son of a bitch. Daryl lives again.
I just don't know that you're ever going to be right, at least for now. Well, I just don't know.
It's too bad that I've committed to this bit, Ben, because it may just live forever. I may just literally have to just humiliate myself week after week for years, Ben, till I'm an old man, perhaps.
What if, and this is hypothetical, what if Daryl falls into like a... What are those things where you freeze yourself, you cryogenically freeze yourself?
Cryogenic freezer. You think that in The Walking Dead that Daryl is just going to trip and be like, whoa, and he's going to turn into Fry from Futurama?
I'm just saying, hypothetically, if that
okay.
were to happen.
All right, if that were to happen, Ben, go on.
Then he would never die, and you could never say, then he would never, and then the opening would still be pointless. So.
Did you go see Interstellar this week? What's going on with you? What was all that? Did you watch Inception? Who gave you Nolan? Just kidding.
I have seen Inception, and no, I did not go see Interstellar.
All right. So, well, good. I'm proud of you. So, this week, we focused on Abraham and Rosita and Eugene and Maggie and Glenn. And what's your new girlfriend's name?
Tara.
Tara. Ladies and gentlemen, before the show, Ben, this is happening because I love it. Because I like having attachments to fake characters. So before the show, Ben told me that he's kind of into Tara. And, you know, that's all you, pal. So, you know, that's your lady. So we got to make sure she stays safe. But I won't lie to you, Ben. I don't think she's long for this world.
Probably not.
However, you can admire her while she's, you know what she needs is she needs to rock some of those Rosita shorts. Just so we know. No? You're not into the Rosita shorts?
No.
That was a yes.
All
right. So Rosita needs to take her shopping so we can get those little short shorts.
Take her shopping in the middle of the zombie apocalypse, you know.
All right. So let's just get this out of the way right now. So Abraham and Rosita have sex, and that's all fine. It's all well and good. It's the weirdest sex scene that I've ever seen, but it is for, you know, it's for AMC, it's for television. But he was just kind of gyrating on like a pile of books. It was very bizarre. But the scene that everybody has been talking about, and we'll just address it briefly because I think there's something else that we should be talking about. But Eugene is watching them get it on, and they're totally aware. Eugene and Rosita, they even talk about him. They see him, they talk about him, and he's hiding in the self-help section. And he's just watching them go at it. And everybody's just cool with it. I find that – not only do I find that kind of weird, but it also is just kind of a great – it's just great character building. Like, it's such an interesting aspect to – those three people's relationship as well as what they've all been through together where they're just like, whatever, he can watch us just totally get it on and it'll be fine. No, nothing will be weird tomorrow. That's essentially what they're saying, which I find to be odd. But the real thing I want to talk about with you, Ben, is not so much that Eugene was watching grown-ups have sex, friends of his have sex, but then Tara walks up and is like, what are you doing? Ben, my question for you is, what was Tara doing?
I think she was also spying. I think they're both guilty of being perverts, honestly.
And I am one to agree.
Because what convenient timing, you know?
She knew what was going on over there.
Mama
didn't raise no fool. She even peeked. She even peeked. I remember. I remember that
she
peeked.
At that point, all they needed was the Marvin Gaye, and that's really it.
Marvin Gaye wasn't necessary. Did you see the moon? Boo! That's natural Barry White. Oh, yeah. So that scene was weird. I'm glad we got it out of the way. There was some comedy in this episode, which is nice for a change. There are going to be nerds out there who are not going to like it, but they're nerds. They don't know what they're talking about. I like the mullet jokes. I like the humor between when Glenn comes to see Abraham in the moonlight, and they're palling around like guys do, and Abraham looks at him and goes, "I need to go have some sex." I like that sort of stuff. It cuts the tension a little bit. And this season, I need a little break. I've told you this, Ben. You might disagree, but I need these episodes. I love these episodes, too. I gotta have these.
Well, it was kind of a combination of both, because you have the beginning where they're in the bus, and the bus flips over because Abraham was avoiding those walkers in the road, and they're getting out, and, you know, Tara's telling Eugene, you know, you need to get out of here, you need to get out of the bus. And then, you know, he's just standing there kind of petrified.
Didn't Eugene sabotage the bus? Didn't...
I thought he sabotaged the other cars that were there.
No, oh, gosh. All right, I have to tell everybody, Ben. I didn't watch...
Oh, no, he did, yes.
All right, thank you, good. I didn't have to reveal my deep, dark secret about this week's episode. Yeah, he did something where he shoved a light bulb somewhere.
He put glass in the fuel line.
There you go. So Abraham didn't do anything. It was that fucking mullet bastard. Speaking of which, I will never not call a mullet a Tennessee top hat ever again. That is the only thing we should call it forever.
So all those Tennessee top hats in the 90s, that's what we're going to refer to them
as? Billy Ray Cyrus had one of the greatest Tennessee top hats that's ever existed.
But when the bus does flip over and, you know, they're all getting out, you just see all of them, Rosita, Tara, Abraham, Glenn, Maggie, they're all kind of walkers. Eugene is just standing by. He doesn't know what to do. And then there's one that starts attacking Tara, and then Eugene gets in and stabs it. And then he goes over to walk to just look at the body, and Rosita's like, "Come on, we gotta go. What are you doing?" And you kind of get at this point that maybe there's something up with Eugene. You don't know what. I mean, you probably got that from the moment you met the guy, but it's just at that point you start thinking, "Huh, yeah, there's something not right with this guy." All of a sudden,
yeah.
And then he admits to Tara that, "Yeah, I fucked over the bus because I wanted you people to need me." And Tara almost flipped shit on him.
I disagree. She was super somber about it. And she was like, "All right, well, I won't tell anybody. Just don't do it again. What the fuck is that shit? He could have killed everybody."
She was about to, and then she's like, "Yeah, I won't tell anybody." Initially, she was going to just, like, wreck his world. And then she's like, "Okay, I won't."
She was going to knock over the books by accident while there was sex going on. No, I think that was another scene where you got an idea of kind of how she is, and I don't think I liked it. He could have killed everybody.
Yeah, he really could
have.
And then,
I'm sure she felt really bad when we got to the biggest part of the episode, which was, drumroll please, Ben, tell the people.
Eugene killing walkers with a fire hose.
Oh, no, that's not what I meant. You got halfway.
I know.
You got halfway
there.
But
that was still cool, though.
Yeah, that was really cool. We'll go back and talk about that real fast. But Eugene is a liar. He's a liar, liar, pants on fire, like we all suspected. I would like to, even though we...
Or
is, oh, go ahead.
Lou, as you would say.
Na, 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 boo, boo.
Ooh.
I like that you got closer to your mic. I think it does give a little something extra.
I'm proud of you, Ben. I'm smiling from ear to ear. I'm so proud. So I'm going to inject just a little bit of comic books here, because I liked how the comic books revealed that Eugene was a liar better. In the comic books, Eugene had like a walkie-talkie or like a satellite radio. And he claimed to have been in contact with Washington through that, but he was using it sparingly to save the batteries. Well, as they get closer to Washington, D.C., Rick asks if, you know, wants him to check in with them, and he won't. So him and Rick fight over the satellite radio, and then it hits the ground, and it breaks open, and there are no batteries in it. And that's when Eugene tells everybody. This seemed like... you know, they were just trying to cover ground. It was a fine place to do it. But, you know, it was in a moment where I think he cares about those people, our people. And so he didn't want them to die trying to go through that town of walkers, I guess. I don't know what – a farm of walkers, whatever that was.
Yeah, I'd say a farm is more appropriate.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. It was a lot though, and they smelled bad because they referenced that specifically, I recall. But, you know, I liked the comic book one better because then it was like he didn't really want to tell them and he wouldn't have told them until they got there. But then he was forced to tell them. Where in this one, he volunteered, which leads me to believe that, you know, the show will treat him way differently than the comics did. So that's interesting to me.
I say that's very interesting that they did it that way, because you said Rick was with them, and obviously in the TV show, Rick is in a completely different place. He's still in Georgia.
Maybe they're doing it this way because the reaction from Rick will, you know, will be something of importance, perhaps, or when Eugene comes clean to the rest of the group, because they will all meet up again. I mean, I'm sure that they'll meet up somehow. I don't know how, but I...
The reason why it's set this way right now is because you know the hospital is going to do something with the people that are still – that stayed behind at the church. You know they're going to play some role with the hospital.
Well, yeah, and that's – so, I mean, I don't know. It could go – you know, they veered so far from the comics now after this episode. Like, everything that comes next, I have no basis for. I have nothing to pull for reference. It's a free-for-all. So I'm excited because that is so rare for me because of my reading of the comics.
Which next week we do get a Daryl episode.
Daryl
and Carol.
So that's, yeah, that'll be sweet. Again, two characters who at this point in the comics are either don't exist or are dead. Same with Beth. So like all of this is going to be crazy. I'm excited to see it. I was on a website today called The Spoiling Dead Fans, and rumors are running rampant about the fate of Beth. That seems to be the question on everyone's mind, Ben. So I'm going to ask you now, before we get into this craziness, how's Beth going down?
I don't know. I still want to go with our theory that Daryl has to save one of the two. He has to save Carol or Beth. I want to go with that theory, and I don't know. And even then, I can't say for 100% he's going to save Carol. I think it depends completely on the situation, but I think it's going to come down to that.
Yeah, I think so you think – when do you think Daryl Beth is going down? Down into the ground.
If not Sunday, sometime before the mid-season finale.
Oh, I think it'll be the mid-season finale.
If it's not this Sunday, it's going to definitely happen.
I don't
think
it'll be this Sunday. And I don't think it'll be the episode in between, because the episode in between will be, I would imagine, Daryl rallying the troops to go to the hospital with him.
Yeah, because we only have three more left.
Yeah, three more left, and then they're going to make me sit around for 2.5 fucking months again. Sons of bitches. All right. Well, let's get back to this episode, because there was quite a bit to cover. Let's do Cliff's Notes, because we've already chewed so much time. Abraham's backstory. Horribly depressing. Homeboy killed four dudes for reasons that they did not explain on the show. I read the comics. Trust me, they're for really bad reasons. He didn't kill them without reason. But then his family's afraid of him because of how brutal he was and how savagely he just murdered these men with his fucking fists. Which, let's be real, Ben, that is fucking gnarly. He just go ahead.
That's manly as shit.
Dude, he picked up a can and just wailed on some guy's face and then put his boot on his throat and just squished the life out of him. And he deserved it. That gentleman deserved it 100%.
All four of them
deserved it. Just, you'll have to trust me. I imagine that at some point they may tell you, but if they don't, just trust Lou. Trust your Lou. They deserved what they got. But then his family gets scared. They run away. And when he finds them, they've been eaten so badly that they can't reanimate. So he doesn't have to stab them in the head because there's nothing to come back, which is kind of gross. Very sad again. His backstory is way more depressing, I think, than in my opinion, than any other character's. He suffered far more loss. Because those men that he kills, they were his friends. Like, he survived with them for an extended period of time. So, like, he killed four Shanes. And he lost Lori, Carl, and Judith. So let's keep that parallel in check. Abraham has lost way more than Rick. Abraham's backstory is fucking horribly sad.
And then going back to the present, because I'm going to come back to the flashback
for
one more thing. But so when they're about to drive through this farm of walkers, Abraham says, fuck it, we're doing it, we're going through. Everybody else is saying no. And then Abraham and Glenn get into a very verbal and then physical sort of altercation, which then turns very physical. And basically Abraham's about to beat the shit out of Glenn until Eugene says, yeah, I'm not a scientist. I've been lying all along. I don't know how to save the world. And I thought it was kind of funny how he was still going around demeaning everybody, saying, I'm smarter than all of you. But at the same time, he's like, fuck you guys, I'm smarter than all of you. And then at the same time, Rosita is like, dude, all these people died to get you to Washington. But the thing is, Eugene is so socially awkward that his acknowledging of all the people that have died, including Bob, is almost kind of showing that he cares, that he's not completely cold-hearted.
That's what I thought too. I thought it was interesting that when she was like, "Do you know many people die for you?" He was like, "Yes, I do." And then he just rattled off names. He just listed people that had died, like he was keeping a running tab.
So, and knowing this. Knowing that Eugene lied is the biggest punch in the gut when they go back to that final flashback of Abraham, when he sees his two children and wife eaten beyond belief. He puts a gun in his mouth, he's about to pull the trigger, and then he hears a man screaming, being chased by three walkers. None other than Tennessee Top Eugene.
Tennessee Top Hat. Get it right.
Tennessee Top Hat Eugene, who says, I have a secret mission to get to Washington, which gives Abraham a new reason to live. And now that reason's gone.
Yep.
So Abraham, like you just said, has to be the most tragic character in this entire story.
Yeah, it's rough. Like we talked about last week, my wife asked me, she asked me who my favorite characters were, and I had two different answers. And in the comics, it's absolutely Abraham, 100%. And then in the show, it's Glenn, because I think I would be the Glenn. A leader, but, not a macho leader.
I guess that's fair enough.
Right? I mean, I feel like that's fair. I'm not a Rick Grimes or a Daryl. I might be a Carol. I could be a Carol.
You're a woman now?
Why not? A badass woman who fucking...
Fair enough.
...blows up cannibal houses. There was one other thing that I wanted to mention, and now I got sidetracked. Bummer. It was a good episode, though. I need these episodes. I love these episodes. I do remember what I was going to say. In that last moment, it's interesting to me that it's like Eugene saved Abraham. So it's interesting to me how that might play out, too. I would imagine that once Abraham gets his shit back together, that will be something they address, because really that is what happened. Abraham's lie saved, or Eugene's lie saved Abraham.
And now Eugene lays on the ground because Abraham just beat the absolute living fuck out of him.
And can I say that the guy who plays Abraham, he's a fucking awesome actor.
Oh, Michael Cudlitz?
Michael Cudlitz.
He actually mentioned on Twitter that apparently the censors tried to ban this episode from airing.
I can imagine.
And I'm going back to it. I don't know how.
I would imagine it's because of the carcass scene, would be my guess. Think about it. That's two children and a woman, and their guts. They're just smears of red. And the sex scene probably didn't help either. It was probably a combination of things.
Nah, I don't know. I feel like a lot of that was tame compared to some things that have happened before, like the two sisters, the throat slitting in episode one of this season. I mean,
it's hard to not think about episode one, and then even the end of the Hunters thing. It's hard to think about those and go, well, then what in this episode would have got it pulled?
That's what I'm saying. What in this episode?
Like I said, the only thing that I could genuinely think of when I saw that was that it was the fact that it was just children carcasses. And I would imagine that, like, I think about other shows that they have on that. Like, I don't think Breaking Bad ever had a child's carcass, you know, like, that's the thing that I feel like censors would be dicks about. Not the sex scene, because like I told you, that sex scene was just weird. It was just an odd
pile of books.
Yeah, man, it was an odd, it was odd. And so, like, I don't think that anything about that was, you know, was the problem. But it might have been a contributor. I don't know. It was a good episode, though. Loved it. Had a great time.
Yeah.
I look forward to more of those people. I guess that's it. At least for me, that's what I've got for this week. Yeah, next week should be fun. And I'm looking forward to, you know, the finish of this chapter and then moving on to the next great, great thing.
Yeah, I think we're definitely going to find out our predictions on Beth, I think, sometime within these next three episodes, which would be interesting to see. I just can't believe we're almost at the mid-season finale, though. Yeah. That just, wow.
Oh, you know what? Hold on. Well, I'll leave you with this interesting theory. I read something that was very fascinating to me. And maybe we talked about something like this, but it was very interesting. Someone wrote an article about how they don't think that Beth will die at the end, like the mid-season finale, but they think that she will grow an attachment to the hospital and to the doctor and to, like, the people that who are genuinely, like, being kept safe, and that she'll stay at the hospital. That'll be the decision. So she won't be dead, but she just won't go with them.
But I don't see that happening.
I thought it was interesting. Just a different take on, you know, like, it doesn't have to be another shootout. Like, she could just end it peaceably and, like, tell them that she's not going with them. You know what I mean? Like, why couldn't it go down like that? Like, her saying goodbye to everybody and just telling them that the people there needed her or some crap? She's like that. She's all soft and puddingy.
I still just don't see it.
No,
like that,
I mean, though. I don't either. But, again, I always like to think about other things and get other people's input and see both sides of the coin. I just thought that that was a fascinating concept that...
Oh, yeah.
Because remember, at one point, this was some of the evidence they provided for that, was that at one point, at the end of last year when Rick asked Daryl where Beth is, and he goes, she's just gone. Like, they said that could be foreshadowing, like that's how everyone will refer to Beth now. So that she's not dead, she's just gone. So, I don't know.
Maybe.
It was interesting. They provided some fascinating evidence. I'll send it to you if I can find it again. But it was interesting. I was like, oh, all right. That's a different theory. It could, you know, I feel like with how this season has gone, we're going to go out with more explosions, I would imagine. But, yeah, whatever.
More Carol shooting gas tanks.
No, it won't be. Carol's getting saved this time because she saved that last time. So.
Daryl shooting gas tanks. Maybe.
No, I don't think so. It'll be...
Can somebody just shoot another gas tank? It was just so damn cool.
Yeah, just somebody shoot the fuck. Ben really wants you to shoot the gas tank, so please shoot the gas tank.
I don't ask for a lot in this life.
You don't. You're a simple man with simple needs. You sure are, Ben.
So be sure to catch The Walking Dead this Sunday. Let us know what you think, what your predictions are of certainly what's going to happen. We'd love to hear it. We'd love to see your feedback for it. And be sure to stay tuned for next week when we talk about episode 6. So, Lou, any final words for this week of The Chewing Dead?
The Tennessee top hat is a rare form of hair.